Our Bibles tonight, if you would please, to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're going to finish just the last few verses in the book, the last four verses actually. Philippians chapter 4. Here, I know of at least two that can do this, three, maybe more. Who here knows the proper way to give a military salute? Yep, one, two. Oh, amen. You've been in the military? There you go. That's good enough. That's you're probably better than most of us if you're into basic. I was at Fort Benning one time, and we were in physical training, and I hurt my foot really bad. When you're running, you don't wear a hat. So I'm wearing a uniform, but I'm not wearing a hat, and they sent me to the dispensary to the doctor, and I got on the wrong bus. I was a lieutenant. And I went out in Fort Benning, out in the middle of nowhere, and realized I'm on the wrong bus. And so when they let me off the bus to get on the right bus, I'm sitting on a bench in the area where they do basic training. Where'd you do basic at?
Fort Sill.
Fort Sill, okay. Fort Benning's worse, but they're all bad. So I'm sitting out there in this area where they do basic training, and here comes a drill sergeant. And I'm sitting there with no hat on. He's coming from behind me. And he doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know why I'm there. He just sees a soldier in uniform with no hat on. And he says, "Soldier, where's your hat?" And I turned around and he saw the lieutenant's bars on my collar. And, "Oh, I'm sorry, lieutenant." I still felt bad. I should have had a hat on. But anyway, proper military salute, right? There's a whole lot more to it than that, but that's close. I hate it when they do it wrong on the TV. You know, they cup their hand or something. There's a right way to do it, isn't there? Why do you salute somebody? Who do you salute in the military? I was an officer. So I'd be walking along, and here comes, don't ever go to the chow hall in the middle of the day, because everybody walks by you, they're going to salute you. And as you're walking, you got to salute them all back. But who do you salute in the military? Okay, you salute an officer and a superior. You don't salute sergeants, do you? No, it's just the officers. And it's an indication of something, isn't it? It's a recognition. Okay? It's a recognition of authority. Now, in this passage, if you look in Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 21. He says, "Salute every saint in Christ Jesus." He says in verse 22, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." And I get excited about that. Paul had apparently led some people in Caesar's household to Christ. But there's another word. It's the very same Greek word, and don't get too excited about Greek, but that word in verse 21, at the end of the verse, he says, "The brethren which are with me greet you." And that word greet is the same word as the word salute. It's a greeting. Now, in their culture, in a Middle Eastern culture, in a Hebrew culture, or even today as I understand it, there are times when it's inappropriate. It's not appropriate to salute. For example, if you are a Christian and someone else is a Muslim, you don't salute them, because there's not a greeting to exchange, because you're in different camps, so to speak. Like, we would not, if we were walking down the road, Mr. Dahlman, you were enlisted, right? Okay, so Mr. Dahlman and I are walking down the road, and coming towards us, there is an officer in a foreign military. Doesn't matter which one, France, Israel, whatever. My military protocol is a little bit shaky, but I don't think we salute officers in a foreign military, do we?
Only if we know for certain that they are of the
rank. Okay, and we don't. Because they're wearing something crazy like stars or something, so yeah. So the thought of a salute here is to recognize and greet somebody who's not just in authority, but with you. Understand that idea? In other words, it's the same thing that we would do in a way. We would say, you've said it to somebody, say hello to so-and-so. You know, when you get there, say hello to, you know, whoever it is that you know there, right? So a salute in the Bible indicates you have an acquaintance, right? And that's what we see here. And Paul talks about some people he has some acquaintances with. The word means to greet or to embrace. It would be proper to refuse to salute an enemy or an opponent. It's a sign of friendship, a sign of fraternity. It indicates cooperation, mutual respect. It indicates that someone is welcome. It's a sign of recognition of merit. Isn't it nice to know we're not the only ones that are saved? Have you ever, hopefully you can raise your hand to this, you went on a vacation or you went on a trip and you went to another city far away and you went to church on Sunday morning and it was not a church that you've ever been to before. You just looked on their website maybe and saw that they looked like they'd be a good church. And you went there and you met some folks and it felt good to know we're not the only ones in the world who are saved. My wife and I went to Barbados one time. And the guy that picked us up, I've told you this story before, some of you have heard it. The guy that picked us up in the cab on the way from the airport to the motel, 10 o'clock at night, he says, "Where are y'all from?" "Well, we're from Utah." What do you assume if you're from Utah that you go to what church? The Mormon church, okay? So this guy's setting us up. He's going to witness to us. And he starts setting, I could tell he was getting ready to witness to us. And I was kind of letting him go a little bit. And I was glad. Praise the Lord. Who does that anymore? Amen? Hopefully a lot of people, but anyway. And so the fellow, he got a little further along and I said, "We go to a Baptist church." "Oh," he said, "so do I." Now, camaraderie, right? Friendship. It's nice to know. In Barbados, of all places, there's a Baptist church. The next day, the fellow picked us up and he drove us down and took us around a little bit and he took us to his church. And it was about the size of this section right here. Maybe a little bigger than that, a little wider than that maybe. And it had a door in the back and a podium in the front on a little, about a foot tall platform. And so we walked up to the back door. We're looking in the church and we're looking all around inside the church through the windows. And I asked the fellow, I said, "Where's the baptistry?" And he says, "Turn around." You turn around, you're looking at the ocean. We were baptized right there. In Thailand, we went to Thailand to visit our missionary friends, and they go to the beach and they baptize in the ocean. And I've seen Stephen Harris baptize in the river. That's good baptistry. You haven't got to fill it up. You haven't got to heat it up. Just walk out there in the water about waist deep and baptize. So anyway, it's nice to know we're not the only ones. Amen? And we're not. We've been reading the Revelation in high school Bible. And there is a numberless group of people that have been saved, and folks in eternity will all be together and we'll be greeting each other all the time. Every saint, he says in verse 21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Saints deserve a salute. And then he says, all the saints salute you in verse 22. And it's just an interesting kind of thing. This is not the message. It's just a little icing on the cake here. And we know Paul was in Rome. We know he knew saints that were in Caesar's house. And he's just kind of ending with this reminder, you're not the only ones. Amen? You're not the only ones. God's working in lots of places. He's working here. He's working in Utah. He's working in Thailand. He's working in Barbados. He's working in Maryland. He's working in Mexico. And we're going to all get together one day. Amen? So now, here's the message, and I'll be kind of quick, but let's just look at these three things. What can you see in these last four verses? I'll read them out loud as you follow along silently, and you don't need to stand at this time, but I'm going to read verses 20 through 23. He says, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." And it reminds us this letter was written from Rome and delivered by Epaphroditus. Let's pray real quick if we could. Father, please bless our time in the Bible tonight. Help it to be something that we can take and use in Jesus' name. Amen. Three words I want you to remember. Three words. Credit, charge, and care. Credit, charge, and care. You can also use three other words that are the same meaning. There's glory, there's a guarantee, and then there's grace. Glory, guarantee, and grace. You see those three things in this passage. I'll show you those one by one and what they mean and why they matter. First of all, look at verse 20. He says, unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, just a simple thought. This word has come home to me just since I got here to Arizona, that you give someone glory when they can do something and they can do it well. And folks, doesn't God do everything well? God keeps his word. God makes promises to you and I he didn't have to make. God loves us. Everything God does, only God can do these things. Only God could love us like he does. Only God could forgive us the way he does. Only God could change us the way he does. Think of the things that God deserves glory for, and it's an never-ending list. And when we stand up in church and we say, God did this for me, and God answered that prayer, and God kept me safe, and so on, what we're doing is we're giving God glory. But if we really stopped and thought about it, if I gave you the assignment to get out a piece of paper and write down things God did today that deserve to be remembered, things that he deserves glory for, it's the whole day long. You realize every moment of this day, God protected you from Satan? Every moment. You realize the health, the material possessions we have, the families that we have, the Bible we have, the church we have, the friends we have, the list goes on and on. They all came from God. The Bible says every good gift cometh from above. And isn't God gracious and generous? Don't want to get ahead of myself, but God deserves glory. Sometimes we have rough days. We have days when something discourages us. Sometimes we have days when things are great. But if you look past things, you'll see the God that never changes. And that'll keep you going. Don't ever forget about Peter walking on the water. As long as he's looking at Jesus, he's walking on the water. And he's walking along doing the impossible. Then he saw the wind and the waves boisterous, and he began to sink. Don't take your eyes off the Lord. Amen? Can you and I, the whole book of Philippians is about, amongst other things, the way we think and about having joy. Can you and I have joy even in difficult times? Let's say, for example, you found yourself like this lady we heard about tonight in hospice, which you should understand that means that this is the end. And I remember Joe Milsick when I visited her in the last place that she was just a day or so before she stepped into eternity. She was in pain, and there's nothing that you can say about that except God can give us grace to go through that. But imagine the thought, I'm going to be in heaven tomorrow. That's pretty good, huh? I'm going to be with Jesus tomorrow. We have an end of pain. We have an end of suffering, an end of sadness, an end of struggles, an end of sin in our life. We're going to be with Jesus. That's how good God is. God deserves glory. And so when Paul says, unto God, our Father, be glory forever and ever, amen, I just mentioned the thought also. It's not just all the things God does. It's for all time. What are you going to do in heaven? You will not be bored. You will not be playing harps, I don't think. Maybe once in a while. We will not be on clouds playing harps in white robes sitting around. Nope. I can't describe heaven to you in detail right now. A, I don't know all the details, and B, I haven't got the time, but I do know this. We're going to be occupied pleasantly doing things to serve God, and you're going to love every minute of it for all eternity. You're never going to get old. You're never going to get sick. You're never going to sin. You're never going to have to strive with someone else or disagree or argue. There'll never be any discord in heaven forever. That's exciting. God gets the glory for all that. Now, it's not just the credit or the glory, but look at the second thing he says in verse 21. And there's three words I jump up on here. In verse 21, he says, salute every saint. Now look at this. In Christ Jesus. They're not just saints. By the way, If you didn't know it, you're a saint. Got Saint Bronson and Saint Lucia and Saint Bella sitting back there on the back row. What makes you a saint? Salvation. A saint is not somebody that some church says, oh, we recognize so-and-so because they're such a great person and they did so many things or whatever. No. Nobody's good, the Bible says, except Jesus. And when you got saved, you became a saint. We have a church full of saints. Amen? Well, if you're saved, you're a saint. I think you're all saved. I hope you are. So he says, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. And that's the key phrase, in Christ Jesus. When I was a little boy, my grandfather had a storm cellar. Now, in Arizona, we really don't need those. It doesn't ever, I don't know, has there ever been a tornado in Phoenix? Anybody know?
Once in a blue moon.
Once in a blue moon, okay. They said there were no tornadoes in Utah, and then of all things, one came out of the sky and hit the new Mormon tabernacle. I don't think there's ever been a tornado in Utah in 50 years, and one came out of the sky. I thought, that's God doing that. But in Texas, especially in North Texas and Northwest Texas and in Oklahoma and Kansas, they have tornadoes. So my grandfather had a storm shelter, and it was amazing. Had a big metal door. Now, as a 7 or 8 year old boy, that's a place you want to go, right? And so we barely could get the door open. And you'd go down a set of steps and down another set of steps. And I honestly think it was not just built for storms. It was also built for nuclear. Back in the 50s, they were pretty big on that. Having a nuclear, in case there was an atomic attack, someplace to go and hide. But we go down in there, and the walls were cement, and the roof was cement, and it was cool, and it was damp, and it had a kind of a musty smell. But you knew something. If a storm came, you got no problem. Maybe if something fell on the door, you might have trouble getting out, but as far as the storm coming over, it's not going to hurt you. I remember in the Army, being inside a tank or inside a bunker when they were shooting at you. No problem. Unless they had a rocket or something, but anyway. But when you're in Christ, what can get to you? Huh? Nothing. Amen? And no man can pluck you out of God's hand. Amen? Now use glory, or for that very first word, credit. The second word I use is guarantee or charge. Folks, if you are in Christ, that's an eternal security. Amen? And in Christ, you don't ever see in the Bible people getting in and out and in and out and in and out. Once you're in, you're in. And I'm glad for that. I know if we could lose our salvation, we would. I pulled a couple of verses out of the Bible that were interesting. The phrase in Christ appears 77 times in the Bible. Salvation is by faith in Christ, Acts 24. Redemption, life, God's love, hope, rejoicing, all those are in Christ, and there's various references for those. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you got saved, you got changed, didn't you? Amen? You say, well, Pastor, I'm not perfect. Nope, you won't be until you step into eternity, but you sure have a different way of looking at sin, don't you? You have a different way of looking at Jesus, don't you? Instead of, I was thinking about that verse on the way in tonight. The Bible says, Jesus told some folks, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? But there are people that would like to have the benefits of knowing Jesus, but they don't want to have the responsibility. We ought to follow him. He ought to be our king. We talked about him. He's on the throne in heaven. Is he on the throne in my heart? Amen? And if he is on the throne, are things going to be different? Sure. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Being in Christ means everything. And it is a secure place. It is a place where he guarantees, he takes charge of keeping you safe. Now the third one, and I'll be done. We got God takes credit. He gets the glory. God takes charge. He guarantees. Now, God takes care. Look at verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Grace. Grace. Wow, what a word. Somebody said, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That sounds good. I like to think of it the simple way. Grace is when God does things for us we don't deserve. Oh, by grace are you saved. Ephesians 2:8, right? Through faith. Not through baptism. Not through church membership. Not through good works. Not through circumcision. Not through, no, through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, someone says that means faith is a gift of God. All I know is what Romans 10 says, that if you hear, you can call. So God doesn't keep you from calling. He doesn't blind you so that you can't. He wants you to hear, and he wants you to call. We last night, the ladies went out and knocked on some doors and visited some people and gave the gospel out. Nothing to keep those folks from getting saved except believing. Amen? Aren't you glad you called? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Grace, grace, grace. Paul prayed that his thorn in the flesh should be removed. We believe he probably had very, 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 very poor eyesight to the point to where he could barely see anything. And we believe that, for example, when he wrote Galatians, he talked about a large letter in his hand because he had to write big letters because he didn't have a secretary that time and he had to write big so he could see what he was writing. And he prayed to the Lord thrice that the Lord would take away his thorn in the flesh. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. And actually the thorn, the Bible explains, was so that Paul wouldn't be proud. Sometimes you and I label our weaknesses as problems when God labels them as opportunities. But grace, what has God done for you? Isn't God so good? Not just saving us. Oh, the list again. And it goes back to glory a little bit, but I'm thinking of like John 1:17, which says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Acts 11:23 says that you can see God's grace in the lives of other people. Paul was a picture of God's grace. Did Paul deserve to be saved? No. He says, I was the chiefest of sinners. I persecuted the saints. There were people that had been killed because Paul caused them to be killed. He watched while they stoned Stephen and took care of the coats and was all on board with that project. He didn't deserve to be saved. But when Paul got saved, he made a comment, and I can't quote it, but I can paraphrase it, that in him, you could see the goodness of God. If God would save him, he could save anybody. Amen? You say, God can't save a murderer. Well, he saved Paul. God's grace is sufficient. That passage of 2 Corinthians 12:9, if you want to look at it sometime. So we have the credit, the glory. We have the charge, the guarantee. We have the care, the grace. Those are advantages of being a saint. Aren't you glad you're saved? That's enough. The goodness of God leads us to repentance, the Bible says. God's glory, the very fact that he sent Christ, that he brought the gospel to you, that he allowed you to hear it and to get saved. And all the things he does in this world and in this eternity, he gets the glory for all of them. The guarantee, once you are in Christ, you are guaranteed salvation. He will protect you. He will keep you. That's wonderful. And then the grace he gives us, which is sufficient. That means you don't need anything else to get you from here to eternity. That's the great thing about being saved. Amen. I'm going to read you a list. I know you won't remember it. If you want a copy of it, I'll give you one later. I might put it in the bulletin on Sunday. But this is the Philippian formula for acceptable service. I'm going to read it. It's 12 items. And again, if you want a list later, I'll give it to you. This is just an outline of Philippians. Number one, have a heart for people. These all come from Philippians. Philippians 1, 3 through 14. Number two, take part in spreading the gospel. Philippians 1, 12 through 20. Number three, make Christ part of everything in your life. Philippians 1:21. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Number four, sacrifice for the people that you serve. Philippians 1:21-30. Number five, be humble. Philippians 2:1-11. You remember some of these titles from messages. Number six, do something with your salvation. Philippians 2:12-18. Number seven, be an asset to others. Be like-minded. Philippians 2:19-30. Number 7, I believe it is. Have confidence in God and not in yourself. Philippians 3, 1 through 14. Number 8, walk only with those who walk in Christ. Philippians 3, 15 to 21. Number 9, have peace of mind because God is in your mind. Philippians 4, 1 through 9. Number 10, guide your thoughts only to godly things. Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Number 11, practice caring for those with needs. Philippians 4, 10 to 23. And number 5, deserve and give a salute to the saints, Philippians 4, 20 to 23. I went awfully fast, but maybe some of that will stick with you. It's possible to live a godly life that pleases Christ, puts a smile on his face like we sang a while ago, and to step into eternity and hear him say what? Well done. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand and pray.